Anyway, when you have a prepackaged project that looks like this, smiling at you, walking into your room, and for the next couple of years, Joan appeared in San Francisco on a weekly or biweekly basis with a little styrofoam box containing serum specimens from patients and controls in Los Angeles, and wound up publishing a lovely paper on the role of chlamydia, a very useful paper on the role of chlamydia, association of chlamydia with ectopic pregnancies, making, I think, a very critical point that the great majority of women who had chlamydial infection and ectopic pregnancy had no prior history of PID. And that still remains a critical finding when you consider control programs. Joan then got an ASHA Award to tie her into this meeting. She was one of the earlier recipients of the ASHA Fellowships in 1988. Since then, she has been associated with the University of California in San Francisco, initially in the Department of Laboratory Medicine, where I reside, and then later on in the Department of OBGYN. She obviously works for the California Department of Health and has many titles and helps lots of people. Joan is very helpful in providing epidemiologic support to other people. But she has carved out a very nice research career of her own while working in program. And this is an important issue. You can do great research in program, and you can have a positive effect on others in program. Joan first started working on prisoners and STDs amongst the incarcerated. She wound up doing studies on assessment and has been one of the pioneers on the use of large data sets and large numbers to evaluate a program. She has had a major impact in our field. And she has had another impact in another field, being this is Chi and Kimberly and Christopher, husband and kids. So she's been a success there, too. And I'm absolutely delighted that ASDDA has chosen her to receive this award.
Dr. Fortenberry, Dr. Rittmeyer, Dr. Schachter, CDC, state and local ASTDA colleagues, I am very humbled by your kind recognition of work done to advance chlamydia control efforts over the past years. As an epidemiologist, I've been privileged to work alongside and learn from many colleagues across diverse fields, microbiology, medicine, health promotion, disease investigation, and policy. That epidemiologists are at the core of this work in public health departments reflects how research can be translated to effective public health practice, so their particular contribution should be celebrated. One of my favorite New Yorker cartoons by William Hamilton relates to how epidemiologists were newly appreciated after the 9/11 anthrax investigations. So picture this. At a cocktail party, the guest has just arrived and compliments the host by saying, quote, "And it was so typically brilliant of you to have invited an epidemiologist," unquote. It is nice to be invited to the party. At the outset of my own career in 1980, as a graduate student in epidemiology, no one could have predicted the surge of interest and concern regarding STDs, long considered controllable, and emerging new STDs, which were then demonstrated to have devastating and costly consequences for large populations. From that point on, I had a front row seat for witnessing how STD control programs are built to address the emergence and reemergence of STDs using the basic epidemiological principles of who, what, when, and where. In the case of chlamydia, there was and still is so much to learn and appreciate about its broad impact. I am proud to say that I was and remain Dr. Julie Schachter's student in this respect. And with his encouragement and support, joined many in our field to make a case for chlamydia prevention as a public health priority. Since then, with rapid developments in diagnostics, availability of monotherapy, national screening guidelines, mandated reporting, and yes, the CDC's Infertility Prevention Project, we have come to appreciate the scope of population-level chlamydia burden. So what is the extent of that scope? Well, nearly every manuscript and conference presentation on sexually transmitted chlamydia starts with data showing that it is the most commonly reportable disease in the U.S., a fact not yet known in 1980 when I started. But from an STD program prevention perspective, it is not enough to just characterize who is most at risk. And this is where epidemiologists embedded in public health agencies have been called upon to mine data sources that would not be common at all in most graduate schools. In public health agencies, we do not have the luxury of randomized control trials, for the most part, or even cohort studies with long follow-up. Yet building a robust evaluation evidence base for effective STD program interventions is our charge, and one that I embraced wholeheartedly in the California STD control program under Dr. Gail Bolin for many years, and now under Dr. Heidi Bauer. Both of these STD program leaders have brought and continue to bring exciting vision to the field. As a result, this program exemplifies what many of our staff affectionately call, quote, scrappiness, unquote. That is, a commitment to resourceful and innovative solutions that balance efficiency with public health intelligence. So our EPI staff have learned to leverage existing data sources and have, quote, gone big, unquote, to triangulate other STD-related data sources, including behavioral, clinical service, pharmacy insurance claims, and commercial laboratory test records. Health data are just getting bigger, though, as a result of moving from paper to electronic health records and interoperable data storage systems. So epidemiologists are even more needed to conduct analyses of these new data to inform effective STD programs. However, the reality is that most epidemiologists in state and local public health departments are split across multiple programs. What does this mean? You usually have less than one FTE epidemiologist devoted to STD and public health programs. We urgently need to invest in these valuable members of our STD program staff. I am just one beneficiary of that investment, but we need to encourage further investment in EPI resources by funding, training, and collaboration. We haven't reversed chlamydia trends yet, so our STD program can't afford not to. Raise your hand if you're an epidemiologist in this audience. Wow, I'm in good company. Lastly, I want to acknowledge my profound gratitude to my mentors, Julie Schachter and Jean Moncada of the University of California, San Francisco Chlamydia Research Laboratory, where it all started, Gail Bolin and Heidi Bauer, who inspire and catalyze STD programs, and to our scrappy California STD program staff, with special thanks to the surveillance and epidemiology section staff, with whom it is a daily joy to work. However, my heart belongs to my husband, Chi, who has supported my public health career from the very beginning, and that has made all the difference. Thank you.